Good morning. Thank you, Your Honors. Your Honors, the Class Action Fairness Act...
Get your name for the record, please, sir.
Excuse me. Tim Frudenberger, representing Defendant U.S. Bank.
Thank you, sir.
The Class Action Fairness Act was enacted to expand federal jurisdiction over large class actions and mass tort actions in the United States, as well as to reduce form shopping by plaintiffs.
Mr. Frudenberger, does the bank agree that if you're unable to successfully plead punitive damages in this case, that the district court has no jurisdiction?
If we are unable to...
If you believe that this is reverse of what you normally have. Normally they're arguing for punitive damages and you're saying no way. Now this way you're arguing for punitive damages and they're saying no way. So it's a bit of a switch. So my question to you is, if there are no punitive damages in this case, the district court has no jurisdiction, does it?
That's probably correct.
Okay. So if that's correct, let's assume for a moment that we agree with you. Isn't the very first thing you're going to do is to move to strike the punitive damages on the basis that California law does not permit punitive damages when it sounds in contract, when the action sounds in contract?
That decision has not been made. But that's
the logical action, isn't it?
Well, it's a possibility, Your Honor, but at this point, the more important consideration for the defendant is to be in the proper forum, which in this case is federal court.
Not if there's no jurisdiction, given the amount in controversy.
Correct, but...
Okay, if the amount in controversy is shy of punitive damages, then isn't it a form over substance concept to proceed in the district court only to have you knock out punitive damages on the substantive law of California under Brewer, and therefore there won't be any punitive damages?
Well...
And therefore you don't have the amount in controversy.
We wish it was that simple, but as the court knows, the Brewer case did not involve a conversion claim. And so there is
But it talked about tort. It said that if anything under the California law, if it's contractual in nature, then by the statutory law of California and whatever preemptive effect or exclusive effect of the labor code may be, it's pretty clear, it seems, as a matter of substantive California law, there is not a basis for punitive damages. Your client ought to be very happy with that.
The Brewer case dealt with a claim for punitive damages, or the potential for punitive damages under labor code claims.
Yeah.
And held that that was improper. We're dealing with not statutory labor code claims, right, but a tort for conversion where punitive damages is recoverable.
Suppose he gets up and stipulates that they're not asking for punitive damages, then what?
Well, as I said, that probably means that there's no federal jurisdiction at this point. But it's, and we would be satisfied with a result of no conversion claim and no punitive damages. It doesn't specifically end the inquiry. I realize that the bank is a little bit of a disadvantage at this point because there has been no deposition or discovery, and so we're going with plaintiff's concession of 2.5 hours of overtime worked to determine what the amount in controversy would be for the putative class. But that number is extremely low. That number, as Your Honors know, is significantly lower than what was alleged and what was awarded in the similar Duran litigation, where the hours worked were over 11. And so when that becomes clear, that issue becomes clear in discovery, there certainly could be an opportunity for the bank to establish, based on alleged hours worked alone, that the amount in controversy is over $5 million.
Okay, well, they've alleged that it's less than $5 million. The only thing that would push it over would be the punitive damages. Is that right?
No.
For jurisdictional purposes.
At this point, it's a close call. And I understand that if you use the 2.5 hours analysis, then yes, the court would need to find or to include punitive damages in the calculation to get over the $5 million.
I'm just trying to simplify this so I get my, you know, my mind around it. If he gets up there and says, we're not asking for punitive damages for the conversion, that's the end of the ballgame for you as far as you're concerned. The case would probably go back to state court, what you've just told me.
At this point, yes.
This is the point we're at, okay?
At this point, yes.
Now, if he says we're going to go back to state court and ask for punitive damages, then we're still where we are. And then you've got your argument that it's still in controversy, and that's the... Well, that's what it comes down to then, right?
That's clearly the basis for our argument. If the conversion claim remains... The conversion claim includes punitive damages, so with a recovery of if a jury verdict on a conversion claim and a recovery of punitive damages, the amount in controversy is definitely over the $5 million threshold. Without that, as Your Honor pointed out, at this point, based on a 2.5-hour analysis,
it would not
be over the $5 million.
Let's suppose, to follow up Judge Silverman's question, that plaintiff's counsel stipulates today as a judicial concession that there is no punitive damage claim attachable to their claim under conversion or any other theory. Does that satisfy the bank that there's less than $5 million in controversy?
Again, I have to say no, because at this point I would say yes, but in looking at the larger picture, I would
larger
have to
picture,
say...
Larger picture, you keep trying to make bigger. Your client ought to just be sweating bullets. What is it you're so worried about?
let me say this. If you get the judicial admission and or concession, and you get the concession that the plaintiff and the putative class is only seeking overtime per week in the amount of 2.5 hours... then yes, no federal court jurisdiction.
So you're saying that it could go over $4 million. If you take out punitives, that's why I wasn't following your argument. You seem to be arguing that the number of hours is in flux. Therefore, even if punitive damages comes out, there's some high-end number of hours that could drive it up over $5 million, given the number of people in the class and the potential hours.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
All right.
Before I forget... is the bank willing to waive the CAFA 60-day rule in terms of when we have to hand out our decision? This is an important question we're dealing with here. We gave the bank authority to appeal the question in the first place. So my question to you is, are you willing to waive the 60-day rule?
Yes, Your Honor, okay. And we appreciate the granting of the request to appeal.
Thank you.
And if I may, I'll reserve the remainder of my time for
you
rebuttal.
You betcha. Thank you.
Thank
very
you.
Much.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Your Honors. Ed Wynn for Plaintiff Appellee. To answer the first question that you're about to ask me, yes, plaintiffs would stipulate to not pursuing punitive damages either.
Okay, well, thanks a lot for coming. I guess that takes care of this.
Thank you. As the court stated, it was not determining the merits of the case prior to determining jurisdiction. It stated, quote, without prejudging the issue, courts are entitled to look at whether punitive damages are even recoverable under state law.
How do you reconcile that with Bell?
Bell versus Preferred Life?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think Bell is the first case that a whole line of cases we're citing for that proposition, looking at whether it's recoverable or not. We've got Gibson versus Chrysler coming out of this circuit that relied on Bell. Also, Anthony versus Security Pacific, a Seventh Circuit case, also relying on Bell. And then we've got other district court cases, Conrad, Simmons, Hayes versus Aerodynamics, which was not cited in our papers, and also Tessing versus Walmart, and other cases. This is not a novel or complex theory.
So it's fair to say that from your perspective, the district court had every right to kind of get to the merits, if you will, at least based upon the merits as alleged in the pleading, to see whether there's an underlying basis in state law.
I wouldn't phrase it that way, Your Honor, with respect. I wouldn't say that the court had a right to get to the merits. Okay. I would say that the court had a right to make a determination whether it was even possible or not. It's a question of whether it is, well, putting it this way, punitive damages, determining whether punitive damages are even recoverable is not the equivalent of determining an affirmative defense or the merits. And that is because whether defendant objected or not to the claim of punitive damages, the district court was without power to award them. It is not a question.
Why is it so clear under California law that, I mean, you've stipulated, so I assume you're satisfied that it is, but why is it so clear under California law, as a matter of substantive California law, that you couldn't get punitive damages under your conversion claim in this case? Is it absolutely clear? Or is
I think so. Given Brewer versus Gulf Properties, Your Honor, in that case, yes, it was. There actually were overtime allegations made in that case, but the court seemed to focus on the meal and rest break. It's a labor code claim, and the court there had two bases for its decision. One, that punitive damages are not recoverable in actions not arising in contract. The employer-employee relationship is inherently one that's contractual. Moreover, there's also the new right exclusive remedy doctrine. Overtime just simply didn't exist before the labor code. So under either of those bases, Brewer versus Premier Gulf Properties found that punitive damages, either based on the labor code directly or indirectly, the conversion cause of action, are simply not available.
Okay, so, but you do believe there is a conversion claim available?
I think conversion, if you separate it out of this context, perhaps in another context where the other elements
are shown. I'm talking about this context.
Not in this one, because the conversion is inherently based on the labor code.
And why did you plead it?
Well, I think the answer to that question is not relevant to this court.
Well, it is, because you say it's absolutely clear as a matter of substantive California law that there is no such claim. I don't know if California has the equivalent of Rule 11, but you apparently, through your research, concluded that it was arguable enough that there was a conversion claim to plead it in good faith as an officer of the court.
If I said that there was that I knew about Brewer and intentionally tried to plead around it, then what the court would be saying is that a plaintiff could vest a federal court in jurisdiction. I don't think that's appropriate. There's a long line of cases.
That's not my question. My question was, if you are correct that the district court has authority to look to the substance of law without deciding the merits of the claim, to decide whether or not there is even the ability of the plaintiff to make a claim, to state a claim, which is what makes this difficult. It sounds almost like a 12b6 motion. Then the question is, do you give any weight to the fact that the plaintiff pled it in the, I'm going to assume, good faith belief that under California law, as a California practitioner, you concluded it was a colorable argument to make a conversion claim, notwithstanding the law of California?
No. And to be frank, Your Honor, I wasn't aware of Brewer when I pled out this complaint. And subsequent to that, I became aware as a result of having the case removed and taking a closer look at it that the logical extension of Brewer means that punitive damages are not available when the labor code.
And so why didn't you dismiss the claim in the district court?
We didn't have an opportunity, Your Honor.
Okay.
If we had that opportunity, we would take that. Right. That was the
well, just to follow up on Judge Fischer's point. So if I understood your first comment, you're willing to waive punitives. Are you willing to waive a conversion claim as well? So basically we're writing fini to that part of the lawsuit.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So basically you're waiving both of those. The only way they get jurisdiction is if somehow they can come up with more money to justify the jurisdictional limit.
I think that's right. And I think also that whole argument that defense counsel gave is outside of the scope of the issues that they framed before this court. But the district court also had a second basis for granting our motion to remand, and that is that it found that defendant's evidence was too speculative.
Yeah, before we leave that, though, you're stipulating here this is a putative class action, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so does that status affect your ability to waive claims in this lawsuit?
Well, first of all, it's a putative class action. It hasn't been certified yet. And secondly, I can recover the overtime through the other causes of action that are pled, namely through the labor code and also through business and professions code section 17200. So by waiving the conversion cause of action, I'm not really walking away from anything.
And if you go back to state court and pursue this as a class action and seek certification, is your waiver binding at that point, or are you likely to be found an inadequate representative of the class?
The only claims that will be certified will be the claims that I put forward.
Right.
So if, I guess, theoretically, another class member could bring a cause of action for conversion, however, defendant would have a very good argument that that claim is inherently based on the labor code, therefore it's subsumed within the claims that are certified, i.e. the claims under the labor code and the claims under business and professions code section 1700.
I interrupted you. You were going to talk about the clarity of the record on...
Indeed. On the second point is that the court found that defendant's evidence was too speculative under Loudermilk versus U.S. Bank. Defendant had one citation to Savaglio versus Walmart. The court there, our court found that it was not sufficient, and it's not sufficient because it's certainly not analogous. Defendant was required to come up with jury verdicts with analogous facts. And the district court here found that Savaglio was not, and as a first point, it's not analogous because the verdict there is not supportable as a matter of law in light of Brewer versus Gulf Properties. Furthermore, under Conrad and Associates, defendant is required to make particular facts, to show particular facts. And the fact that punitive damages award are simply there is just not enough. That case was not summary judgment type evidence that the court, that defendant was required to show. Then they had Green versus Party City. Well, that's not even a jury verdict, so that doesn't meet the test at all.
And let me ask you, you only have a few seconds left. Judge Smith asked counsel about waiving the 60-day time limit for the decision in this case. Do you have any problem with that?
No, sir.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you very much, Mr. Wayne.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Your Honors. Mr. Wynn mentioned that he wasn't aware of the Brewer case at the time that this complaint was filed, but the Brewer case, as this Court knows, was decided on December 3rd, 2008.
Okay, so he was wrong about bringing the claim. He now stipulates he won't seek punitive damages in the conversion claim, and I think you told us 5 minutes ago that his stipulation would dispose of the matter. Is that still the case?
Dispose of the matter?
Dispose of our appeal. I mean, the district court, we would hold the district court properly sent the case back to state court.
Well, at this time, as I said, with an overtime amount of 2.5, that would appear to be appropriate.
Okay.
But again,
well, that's the game. I mean, those are the cards we're dealt. So.
I'm just pointing out, just so I don't want to preclude the bank on this issue, because if they claim, let's say, 7.5 hours or more, then the amount in controversy will be reached based on...
Okay, well, then we'll have another case another day.
Okay. Understood.
Okay.
That's all I have, Your Honors.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Case just argued is submitted.